Hello and welcome. In this talk, we address a common question and objection to the commands of Jesus for this gospel age. What about the thief on the cross? Should we base our salvation on the confession of the dying thief? The short answer is no, but the remainder of this talk will explain why. Many people who reject the clear New Testament Bible directive to repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit, as commanded in Acts 2 verses 37 to 40, with the Bible evidence of speaking in new tongues, Acts 2 verse 4, Acts 10 verses 44 to 48, and Acts 19 verses 1 to 6, quote the dying plea of the thief on the cross. The claim is that Jesus promised the dying thief would enter the paradise of heaven that very day, that he was saved, yet he did not need to be baptized or receive the Holy Spirit. Many rest on this as the foundation of their personal salvation and use this as an excuse to refuse to do anything else commanded by Christ. The purpose of this talk is to prove through comparing Scripture with Scripture that without any shadow of doubt, relying on the plea of the dying thief is totally invalid for salvation today in this church age, and that God's clear conditions for salvation in this age requires everyone, without exception, to follow the gospel pattern of repentance, water baptism, and receiving the Holy Spirit. God's word is totally consistent. God's word cannot lie. The scriptures cannot be broken, as we read in John 10 and verse 35. Firstly, we examine the gospel accounts of the supposed repentant thief. The details of the thief on the cross are documented in the following passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 27 verses 38 to 44, Mark 15 verses 27 to 32, and Luke 23 verses 39 to 43. In the accounts of Matthew and Mark, we are told that the two thieves crucified with Christ both reviled Jesus along with the onlookers. In Matthew 27 verses 43 to 44, we read firstly the words of the chief priests. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. And in Mark 15 verse 32, let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Only in Luke's account do we read that one of the thieves appears to have recognized the innocence of Christ. Luke 23 verse 39 to verse 41. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Verse 41, and we justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And in verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus replied with an interesting statement. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Verse 43. Many people think that Jesus promised that the thief would enter the paradise of heaven with him that very day. But that could simply not be the case for the following reasons. Number 1. According to the scriptures, Jesus was to die for our sins and be buried in the grave, that is Hades, for 3 days and 3 nights, to fulfill the sign of the prophet Jonas, as in Matthew 12, verses 38 to 40. Furthermore, after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus was seen on earth for a further 40 days before ascending from the Mount of Olives into heaven. Acts 1 verses 1 to 3. So the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus had not ascended to heaven right up to the end of Luke's Gospel and the beginning of the book of Acts. In John 20 and verse 17, the risen Jesus clearly stated to Mary Magdalene 3 days and nights after his crucifixion that he had not yet ascended. Therefore, since Jesus only ascended to heaven some 43 days after his crucifixion, Acts 1 verses 9 to 11, he could not have promised that the thief on the cross would enter heaven with him the same day of the crucifixion. Number 2. Furthermore, in the Gospel of John, we read that no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. John 3 and verse 13. We also read in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 22 to 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Christ alone has ascended to heaven, and afterward those who belong to him at his coming, that is, at the second coming of Christ, an event that has yet to take place. We also read in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 to 17, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, that is, the New Testament Spirit-filled Church, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent, that is, precede, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The foregoing make it absolutely clear that the resurrection, that is the raising up of the dead, only commences at the second coming of Christ and not before. This is the first resurrection, reserved exclusively for the overcoming church of the gospel age, under the terms of the new covenant, something the thief could not be a part of because a new covenant and the new covenant church, which Jesus died for, did not begin, was not constituted until Pentecost. The thief could not be in Christ because the thief died under the terms of the old covenant. To be in Christ means to be in the body of Christ, and that cannot take place until one is baptized with the Holy Spirit into that one body. As we read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, we also read in Romans 8 verse 9, that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Number 3. Now Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, cannot lie. So we ask the question, how can Christ's statement about paradise in Luke 23 verse 43 be reconciled with all other scripture and be properly understood by us? For the reasons stated so far, by his own word, Jesus could not have promised the thief that he would enter heaven itself on the same day as the crucifixion. There are two things to consider here. Firstly, the meaning of the word translated in our English Bibles as paradise, and secondly, the punctuation the translators have used in the record of Christ's statement. The word paradise is translated from the Greek paradisos, a word of Persian origin, literally meaning a park or garden, a word used 3 times in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 12 verse 4 and Revelation 2 verse 7, the word is used to denote a place or state of peaceful bliss, a heavenly state or Edenic state. Hence the popular association of this word with heaven. The scriptures certainly record that Jesus was laid in a garden tomb the same day he was crucified, as we read in John 19 verses 38 to 42. However, there is no scriptural record of either of the thieves being buried in a garden tomb per se. In fact, it was the general custom to throw the bodies of common convicted and executed criminals into the Valley of Hinnom without burial, a place reserved for the disposal of human waste. So, if Jesus' referral to paradise in his statement really meant a garden or park, then perhaps he was emphasizing that both him and the thief would be in a common state of death, that is, in Hades, the very same day, and not somehow being transported into heaven itself. Jesus lived as a man, he would also die as a man. The only difference would be in his resurrection. Being the eternal Word of God, Jesus would be resurrected after 3 days and nights as prescribed in Scripture, in accordance with the plan and purpose of God, whereas the thief would not. Number 4. It is also interesting to examine the punctuation of Luke 23:43. The placement of the comma and the syntax used by the translators in this portion of Scripture makes a profound difference to the meaning of this passage. Compare the following. And Jesus said unto him, comma, verily I say unto thee, comma, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And the alternative rendering, and Jesus said unto him, comma, verily I say unto thee today, comma, thou shalt be with me in paradise. If we assume that the word paradise refers to one state in the future heavenly realm, the first rendition supports the notion that Jesus was promising the thief resurrection on the same day, a notion that finds no support in other scriptures as previously demonstrated. However, if the second alternative rendition is the more accurate translation, Jesus could well have been promising the thief that in the second, that is the general post-millennial resurrection, the thief's dying plea would be looked upon with favour by the judgment of the Lord. Perhaps this statement by Christ was the final gracious act of forgiveness that Jesus delivered at his lowest moment, immediately prior to his death. Only the Lord himself knows the truth of this matter. In any case, this second rendering would be the very most that one could determine in terms of a potential future salvation for the dying thief. Nevertheless, regardless of the most accurate translation or not, such a plea from the dying thief now, in this New Covenant Gospel age, where repentance, baptism in water, and the Holy Spirit are commanded, holds no scriptural foundation for salvation under the terms of the New Covenant. There is simply no guarantee of salvation outside of the New Testament requirements clearly stated on the day of Pentecost as recorded in Acts chapter 2. To conclude, God does not make mistakes and he is not the author of confusion. Otherwise, the integrity of the scriptures would be broken. Any confusion only arises through distortion of the truth, through human error, lack of understanding, or bias. Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh, declared that we must be born again, that is, born of water and of the Spirit, to enter the kingdom of God. John 3 verses 1 to 8. Born of water is being baptized in water, and born of the Spirit is being baptized with the Holy Spirit, also described in the Bible as receiving or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Claiming to be saved now, relying on the dying plea of the thief on the cross, is a deceptive error, and merely an attempt to circumvent the clear gospel directives of Jesus Christ for this New Testament era. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Matthew 7, verse 21. Therefore, if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, it is incumbent on us to do what Jesus Christ commanded. Repent, be baptized for the remission of sin, and receive the Holy Spirit.